I'm not attacking the Catholic Church tonight. I'm not a Catholic. Maybe you notice the sign out in front of our church says Baptist. And I never never think I'm being unkind if I have the same thing on the inside we have on the outside. And but I want you to listen carefully as I'm going to state some facts tonight about the Catholic Church. They're facts. They're not railing accusations. They're facts. And any Catholic who's honest will tell you that what I'm going to say is true about the Catholic Church tonight. It's not a matter of me making false accusations. It's a matter of record. I'm going to say some things about the charismatics tonight. And I'm more Catholic than I'm charismatic. And I've got more respect for the Pope than do the PTL Club, and I mean that. And my respect for the Pope is not really soaring, but I don't get mad now. I want to help you. I'm just simply saying that I'm going to say some facts. I'm going to say some facts about the charismatics, and if a charismatic is honest, he'll agree with the facts I'm going to say tonight. Not any accusation, no gossip, no slander, just facts that I would say, or charismatic would say. Also, I'm going to say some things tonight about Protestantism. In fact, I may not miss anybody tonight, but everything I say will be factual, and it'll be the kind of thing that even the people about whom I speak would agree. And so I want you to listen. I feel like that I ought to make. In fact, I feel like any pastor, with the battle raging as it is about the King James Bible, I think that any pastor ought to alert his people. Father, bless our message tonight, and I pray you help me to establish our people in the Word of God. Amen. I need not go into it again, simply to say it happened. Every night when I was a boy, my mother, the time I was, well, as far back as I remember, back when I was 2 and 3 years of age. It happened until I went in the paratroopers in World War II when I was 18. My mother would take her big Bible about that tall, about that wide, about that thick, and she would read 30 minutes from the Bible to her son. And then she would hold it up and she would say, "This is the Word of God." Now, she didn't say, "The manuscripts from which we got this is the Word of God." My mom, you didn't know what a manuscript was. She just knew she had a book that was the Word of God. That's all she knew. And so she said, "This is the Word of God." And I'd look at it and I'd have to say it thrice. "Mama, the Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God. The Bible is the Word of God." I have Mama's Bible, same one she read, in my office. Had it there for years. Same Bible. I don't know how old it is, but I expect it's 55, 60 years old. And same Bible she used to hold up. The other day I was thumbing through it. On the inside, it said on the title page, King James Bible. That's what it said. You know, it worked. It's amazing how well Mama did before she found out that wasn't the Word of God. I have been going to Baptist churches for 51 years. Every pastor I've ever had
preached in the King James Bible. And he always said to me, he always said to the crowd, open your Bible and let's hear what the Lord says. These pastors that I had were not unfortunate enough to sit at the feet of lower education, which calls itself higher education. But it's amazing how well this nation did before we found out. Are you listening? It's amazing how well we did when we didn't know how ignorant we are. This is my fifth pastorate. I've seen miracles in my pastorates. I've never yet, 41,000 times last December, I've never yet preached a sermon that wasn't preached in the King James Bible. And I really don't know what I've missed. To be quite frank with you, I've seen the fellows that preach from other Bibles, and I somehow get the idea they're missing something. Dr. Evans, I've never seen a fellow really whoop it up about any other Bible. I've never heard a fellow say, blessed be God, let's look in the book. Let's look in the Douay version. You ever go to Mass and the priest gets up and says, hallelujah for the Word of God?
Truth is, he'll ordinarily, don't get mad at me, I'm telling the truth. If you don't believe it, go next Sunday and see. He'll usually have a prayer book and not a Bible. Now, don't get mad at me, it's truth. Call him up and ask him. Don't get mad at me. If you get mad at me, I'll get mad at you, and I get mad, I get mean. Now, I'm saying that over 41,000 sermons. Now, follow me. I've taught you about the Texas Receptus, Westcott and Hort. Westcott and Hort, those manuscripts from which came the Douay version that the Catholics use, which came the American Standard version, which is highly overrated. I've told you how, are you listening now? Hey, you can talk when you get home. I got something I want to tell you. The Westcott and Hort manuscripts came from the Vatican manuscripts that were stored, hidden in the Vatican for years, from whence came the Catholic Bible. The Textus Receptus manuscripts are those that have been from which we've gotten the King James, and they have been the evangelistic manuscripts, if you please. And I won't go into that. I'm a Textus Receptus man. I haven't got a bit of patience with Westcott and Hort, not a bit. And in fact, I really, really have a hard time not being bitter, and I'm not bitter, but I have a hard time not being bitter against my Greek professors in college that taught me from Westcott and Hort Greek manuscripts. It upsets me greatly. Now there are four. This is the message here. The question at hand is this: where is the final authority for church building, for Christian living? What's the final authority? Now, there are four different final authorities in American Christendom. I'm not talking about Mormonism and those that have other books. I'm talking about Christendom. There are four basic final authorities. One is the church. Now, this is fact. Any true honest Catholic priest will tell you this, that the Catholic position on the final authority is that the church has final authority. And if you want to go a little farther than that, if the Pope speaks ex cathedra, he is the final authority. Now ask any Catholic, read any Catholic doctrine, they'll tell you that. I'm not trying to be critical, I'm telling you the truth. And if a Catholic priest were standing here, which he won't ever do, but if you're standing here and speaking, you see, I happen to believe that in a Christian college, a Christian fundamental church or college, you shouldn't hear both sides of the issues, and especially the one side presented to the heathen. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe it at all. But our Catholic friends believe that the church is the final authority. If the Pope speaks ex cathedra, that's God speaking. I'm not being critical, I'm being factual. There's a second final authority, and that final authority is the authority of experience. In other words, it happened to me, so it's true. You see, I was there when it happened, and ought to know, and had an experience. I saw Jesus, had an experience. I saw a vision, and God took. Listen, this is the charismatic position. I mean, just let them ask them. Or turn them on. They'll say, I have a message from God. See? So, this is God talking. God gave me a message. Now, the foolish thing about that is, if that's true, you better start writing more Bible. You see? So, that's what you call the final authority comes from experience. All right? The first is the church, and the second is experience. God has given me a message, and I'm not talking tongues, and somebody interprets what God said, you see. Now, folks, the truth is, all that God has ever said to man's right there. That's it. That's God's complete revelation to man. Now, that's the first two. What, and by the way, that's the basis of the whole thing. What is the final authority? There has to be some place, ladies and gentlemen, where we can say, this is it, and what this says is the final word, you see. So our Catholic friends say the church. Our charismatic friends say the Bible, beyond that, and they'll say human experience. Then there's a third, and that is human reasoning. And that's what liberal people say. Every man is searching the truth for the truth, and every man gets a portion of it, so nobody's wrong, nobody's right. We're all searching. So it doesn't seem to me that God would make a hell so there's no hell. It doesn't make sense to me that God would let anybody go to hell so God wouldn't let anybody go to hell. It doesn't make sense to me that God would regenerate anybody, so there's no such thing as regeneration. Now, that's most of our Protestant friends, most of them. And all the humanist crowd, that's what the liberal believes, that's what 95% of all the seminaries in America believe, that's what 95% of all religious colleges in America believe, that the final authority is the human mind or human reasoning. All right, we have the first three. We have, what is the final authority? The church, our Catholic friend. Human experience, our charismatic friends. And human reasoning, mostly Protestantism. The average Protestant church in Hammond believes that. I don't see how there could be a place with golden streets. If I don't see how there could be, there's not one, which is idolatry in its most pagan form. My mind is my God. What I can't believe and conceive, I won't. What I can't conceive, I won't believe. What I can't understand, I won't accept. So I'll trim the Bible down to fit what I can believe. I just can't believe there's a God of wrath. So I don't believe there's a God of wrath. There's no God of wrath. Now, the fourth final authority is the Bible. Now,
every church in America and Christendom who had services this morning, in and out, had a preacher. Look, this is not classroom. Put your pens down, look at the preacher. I'm talking to you, preaching to you. It's not classroom. By the tape, you won't know what I said, but I don't want you, I want you looking at me now. Every church this morning in Christendom that opened its doors and had services, somebody stood up and preached what he believed. He either preached that he believed that final authority was the church, or final authority was human experience, or final authority was human wisdom, or final authority was the Bible. Now, the only authority that we as independent Baptists, there was a day when I could say Baptist, but the truth is most of your Southern Baptist colleges and seminaries are staffed by professors that don't believe the Bible is the final authority. There's not a single, and I may as well say it all, not a single Southern Baptist college or seminary I'd recommend anybody to go to anymore. None. I went to a Southern Baptist college, Southern Baptist Seminary. Heard a professor in my seminary say 35 years ago, I heard him say it, he said he didn't believe the resurrection. He said to him, the resurrection was a bunch of blindfolded spirits in the vacuum. He said it. It's there. Now think what they're saying now. Now, consequently, we believe that the only final authority for practice and doctrine of the Christian and the church is the Bible. I cannot speak ex cathedra. I cannot speak and say this is truth. All I can say is that this is truth. You say, I can't say. I'm going to speak now. This is God speaking through me. I don't much like people to say, dear God, put the words in the mouth of our preacher. I think you can say, lead our preacher. But if God put the words in the mouth, we have more Bible. You see, I have no power in this church but the power of influence. Sometimes I wish I had more. Sometimes I wish I had power to make you ladies dress like I think you ought to dress. Sometimes I wish I had power to make you adults have rules about your teenagers that I think you ought to have. But all I can do is influence you. I have no power. I have officially, I have one vote in this church, that's all. I have no vote at deacon's meeting and one vote as a member of this church. And the only power I have is my vote and the power of influence. Now, it was a good day for me when I decided that I was going to make my final authority the Word of God. I was roboted in Southern Baptist schools to believe that the Southern Baptist program was it. One day I decided to get my Bible down and just read my Bible and reorganize my church. I did. I decided to get the book of Acts down and read it word for word and to try to see what the New Testament church was all about. I cast aside all of my tradition I've been taught, all of the little jargon I've been taught, all of the catechisms that I had been taught to swear allegiance to, and I decided that I was going to try and find out what kind of church the New Testament church really was. You know, Dr. Curtis Hudson gave the best compliment to First Baptist Church of Hammond that's ever been given in the Sword of the Lord this week. He said, he was here for pastor school. He told how many conversions and baptisms we had that Sunday before, and he said, if God were writing the book of Acts today, he'd write about the First Baptist Church of Hammond. Well, that's the ultimate compliment. You see, I decided that I was going to get my Bible down. And what I thought the New Testament church had, scripturally, that's what I was going to have in my church. And I believed in that with all of my soul. I believe that the First Baptist Church of Hammond is as near as is humanly possible to what the church in Jerusalem was 2,000 years ago. If I didn't believe that, I'd look in the Bible. Now, where'd I get that? Got it in the Bible. You know why we're scattered abroad all over this area winning souls? Because the church in Jerusalem was scattered abroad everywhere, Acts 8:4. You know why we go around house to house knocking on doors? Because in Acts chapter 5, verse 42, it said, daily in the temple and every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. Why? Because that's what the Bible says. Somebody said, well, we have different kind of churches. You have a soul-winning church, and we have a deeper life church. In the first place, it's a lie. There's no deep life so deep as a soul-winning life. But they said, we have different kind of churches. No, we don't. We have a church and you don't. I mean, you have no rest. Brother, this is your charter to exist. And if this is not your final authority in practice and doctrine, then you're not a church. You may have the word church on the outside, but you're not a church. Now, since the Word of God is our authority, now hear me carefully. Since the Word of God is our authority, we simply must have it. That's a profound statement. We've got to have it. I mean, shall we have an authority we can't find? Would God tell us that His Word is the final authority and leave us without His Word? We must have a copy, or we may as well join our Catholic friends and let the church be the basis for truth. If we have no Word of God, and if the Bible is not the Word of God, then we only have three other alternatives. We've got to say the church will be the final authority, or human experience will be the final authority, or human mentality will be the final authority. See, I'm saying, if we have no Bible, that is the Word of God, then we have no way to go to a book for the final authority. And if one word in this Bible is not true, we don't know what it is. So once again, man, either the mind of man or experience of the church, is going to have to decide which one is true, which one is not true. Now I'm saying, folks, if we're going to believe that the Bible, that the Word of God, is the final authority, we've got to have a copy of it. Ask a question. Would God call a man to preach His Word and not give it to him? God calls a man and says, I'm calling you. Spend your life full time preaching the gospel. Preach the Word. And not give him a copy. I said this so often, and I'll say it again and again. I would step down from behind this pulpit tonight and never walk in it again to preach if I didn't have the Word of God in my hand. And I would not waste your time nor take your money. I'm an honest man. And I would not waste your time or take your money unless I could say to you, you have the Word of God. And I have it. It's preached here. Now, this is what I've said before, and I'll say again so much. If I did not believe that the book I hold in my hand tonight was God's Word, I'd find out where it was, and I'd go there and get a copy and print some copies for you and give you a copy. I mean, brother, if we don't have a Word of God in our hand, we have no place to go except to the human mind, human experience, or the collective human mind, which is the church. And I just don't believe God would reach down and give a divine call to a man and say, I call you to preach my word. And he says, where is it? And God would say, we don't have them anymore. I don't like a statement of faith that says, we believe the Bible is the word of God in the original manuscripts. First place, there are no original manuscripts anywhere in the world tonight. None. And if the word of God was only the original manuscript, there is no word of God available for mankind today. If I did not believe the Bible I hold in my hand was the word of God, and I believe there were some manuscripts, I'd get on an airplane, fly there, I'd break in the building if I had to, I'd get a gun and I'd hold up the guard if I had to, or hold him hostage while somebody else went inside and got the original manuscripts, I'd get them, and I'd bring them back, I'd mimeograph them and give you a copy. I'm not going to stand here as an imposter preaching a book that's not the word of God and giving you the instructions on how to live from a book that's not the word of God. I'm not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. Would God tell his people to live with the word and not give it to them? Let me say this. Of all the nations, every once in a while somebody said, let me say it. Of all the nations in the earth, on the face of this earth, America is the center of world evangelization. America is the only hope for the world, gospel-wise. Do you think that God would not give to America his word? Do you think that God would say, no? Listen, the countries of this world look to America for missionaries. They look to America for preachers. Every great movement of God in the world today was founded by a ministry or a movement that was propelled by American evangelization. And the mission movement, founded basically, I think, by Hudson Taylor. Now, wait a minute. Of all the nations on the face of this earth, it just seems to me that God would give the key nation the Word of God. Now, because of this, by the way, let me say this. Check the history of Christianity in America. And see how well we've done with all these extra Bibles. Check the history of the church in America, say from 1950 back, before every little preacher had the misfortune to sit at the feet of a college theologian. You know what? We won't have people who are just theologians teaching Bible in Howells Anderson College. Every teacher of Bible in Howells Anderson College is a preacher. We won't hire a theologian. No way. You say, you opposed to theologians? No, sir, I'm just leery of them. And wary. And I am wary of those that dare to set in judgment on the Bible. Brother, it seems to me that any place in the world where you ought to have your faith in the Bible stabilized, it's a Christian college or Christian seminary, but the truth is, that's where you get your faith shaken. One reason why some things bother me. It bothers me when people say we believe that the Bible in the original manuscript is the Word of God. Then we have no Bible. You know what I said? We have no Bible. One day they did, but we don't. Dr. Ed Heinsohn of Liberty Baptist College said this. concerning 1 John 5:7. He said, thus, according to John's count here, there are three that bear record in heaven. Now, he said this, the rest of verse 7 and the first 9 words of verse 8 are not in the original and are not to be considered as part of the Word of God. I'd like to ask Mr. Hansen a question. When did he see the original? How does he know they're not in the original? Look at me now. How does he know? Only way an honest man could say they're not in the original is to have seen them and they're not available. Now, he could say they're not. He could say they're not in some of the manuscripts that are considered the most ancient. I personally think he was saying they're not in the Westcott and Hort. I can't prove that. But we'll say this. Where? Okay, before I get too rough on him, let me just look at your Scofield Bible, 1 John 5:7. He's talking about it. Look at your Scofield Bible. 1 John 5:7. Page 1325. Folks, I have no axes to grind. I have nobody's feelings to hurt. I've just got to have the Word of God, that's all. I've got to have it. Bible says the Word of God begets sinner. Bible says the Word of God is what we're supposed to preach. The Bible says preach the Word. Now look at Scofield Bible, 1 John 5:7. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Now look at that little O there in front of verse 7. Right where it says 4, O. Now look in your center reference there, right in the middle, it has the O. And Mr. Scofield says, it is generally agreed that verse 7 has no real authority and has been inserted. Now I'd like to ask Mr. Scofield when he saw the original. He never saw it. Somebody who thought he was intellectual told somebody who thought he was intellectual, and listen, we don't want the intellectual community to think of us as being nincompoops. But I'd rather have a nincompoop with a revelation of God than to have an intellectual without a revelation from God. And we've got to have a final authority. If this book is not true, then the church has got to do it. Our human reasoning has got to do it. Our human experience has got to do it. Man, listen, there are only two, God and man. If God's not the final authority, man's the final authority. If we have no final authority in a book, then man's got to discern what God says. And if man discerns what God says, then man becomes the final authority and not God. So Mr. Scofield had problems the day he came to that verse. How does he know? Pray tell me, what in the world could he have ever seen that make him say that? He didn't see anything. He sat in somebody's Bible class and some doctor mess him up, or Dr. McFuddle. Dr. Broadstomach stood up and said, well, it said in the original manuscript. It sounds scholarly, but nobody's seen them in our generation. And Dr. So-and-so hadn't seen them, and the professor in the seminary hadn't seen them. The Bible college professor hadn't seen them. Either what I hold in my hand is the Word of God, or we don't have any Word of God. And I don't believe God would leave us without His Word. I don't believe that. I just don't believe it. Now, we need a Bible that we can understand, in the Bible, that's God's Word. Now, what looks like anybody would agree that if God gives us the command to preach the Word, He gives us a word to preach. That's logic. God wants to say to a nation, you are the custodian of world evangelization for a generation, or two or three or four. Looks like God would give them the Word of God. Now, what is it? I would say it ought to be the one that's worked. Which one's worked? One I hold in my hand right now. It's worked. It'll work. I almost called this sermon, "Where's the Beef?" That's what I want to ask our Catholic friends who say, "The Pope can speak ex cathedra and that's God speaking." I want to say, "Where's the beef?" I could say nobody's back there. I'd like to say to our friends in the charismatic movement, you say, "Why do you stress it?" Because the charismatic crowd is trying to teach our crowd every day they got something we don't have. And tonight, before I walked into this pulpit, one of our fine leaders came and told me of one of our men been swept aside. One of our good, faithful men been swept aside from the charismatic crowd. As pastor of this church, it's my job to warn you of wolves that's dressed like sheep. Now, if we don't have a Bible, that's the Word of God, we've got to go to human reasoning. If God says to a church, "Build your church on my word," God's got to give us this. God wouldn't be God if he told us to do something we couldn't do. Everything that God has ever commanded us, he has given us the wherewithal to obey that commandment. And God has never commanded man to do anything that is unreasonable or impossible for man to do. God calls a man to preach. Said, "Preach the word." God, to be God, would have to give him a word to preach. If God says to a church, "Build your church on my word," God's got to be God to give. He to be God, he's got to give that church a word of God. Now, I'd like to say to our Mormon friends, "Where's the beef?" I like to say to the folks who believe the New A version, "Where's the beef?" I like to say to American Standard folks, "Where's the beef?" I like to say to the charismatic folks, "Where's the beef?" And the liberal folks, "Where's the beef?" Well, we got the beef here tonight. We're here. We got several thousand head. Go across the street and see who's over there tonight. Go over and see. Go see what happened. Go see what happens when a church says, "We let the church decide. The church will define authority, or the Pope will." See what they got. Where's the beef over there tonight? Go down Liberal Row on Holman Avenue tonight. Check and see how much beef is there. Where's the beef? I haven't got any beef. I went to seminary and got pork. No beef. Some got bologna. Where's the beef? We've got to have a Bible. We've got to have the Word of God. But our Methodist seminaries say it's not verbally inspired. There was a day when John Wesley started that movement, and he said it was inspired, and they had the beef back in those days. Presbyterian seminaries say the Bible's not the Word of God, but John Calvin believed it and had the beef. John Knox knows had the beef. I'm saying that we've got to admit either this is the Word of God, or we have to flee to the church being the final authority. Or we have to flee to human reasoning being the final authority. Or we have to flee to human experience being the final authority. If there is no Word of God today, we have no other recourse, since God has not given us His Word, We have to decide what is God's word. And that's human reasoning. By the way, basing a doctrine on human experience is idolatry. Basing a doctrine on the church being the fine authority is idolatry. The church is the idol. Letting the Pope speak ex cathedra and saying that's God speaking, that's idolatry. You're putting him as God. Human reasoning says that what we can reason, we'll believe, and that's idolatry. So the truth is you got one choice of two. Either this is the word of God, or we have no other place to turn but to idolatry. Did you hear me? Either this is the word of God, or there's no place to turn but idolatry. Only three other places to turn: human reasoning, human experience, or the church. And they're all three the same, because making the church final authority is done so with human reasoning, which means that Catholicism is humanism, which means that the charismatic movement is humanism. It's man saying, I was there, I felt it, God spoke, here's what he said. That's human reasoning. It's humanism. So either this is the word of God, or there's nothing left of humanism. I'll tell you this. To whatever degree this book is believed, pardon me, to whatever degree this book is not believed, that society has the exact proportionate belief in humanism. Because there are two available, God and man. If God hadn't told us what to do, man's God tells what to do. When a country does not believe this book, they're totally humanistic. When a country leans from this book, they lean humanistic. When a country's divided about this book, they're divided about humanism. I just don't believe that God would say, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and not give us his word to take with us. I just don't believe that God would say, train up a child the way he should go. Put the word of God on the doorpost of your house and teach it to your children. I don't think he'd tell us to do it unless there were a word of God. I don't think God would say, start a Bible college, send out young men to proclaim the truth, unless God had given us the truth. I just don't believe that God would send young men to the mission field. I don't think God had put Rick Martin and send him halfway around the world to proclaim his word without giving him a copy of it. I just don't think God would send young men out from this church to build soul-winning churches without giving them his word. With all of my soul tonight, I believe that the final authority for faith and practice for a church or a life is the word of God. I do not believe that I'm the final authority, nor the bishop, nor the Cardinals, nor the Cubs, nor the White Sox. A fellow said not long ago, when there was no pope, he said, I think Ernie Banks, I'll be the next pope. Said, why? Well, said, the Cardinals have had it long enough. It's time the Cubs got the pope. I'm not the final authority. El Papa is not the final authority. He can wave his magic wand all he wants to. He can rustle his skirts all over the country. If you don't like what I'm saying, you can lump it the best way you can. I'm going to tell you the truth. If I got to grab you and shake you, I'm simply saying the Bible's the final authority and not man. I don't care what he's called, he's not man. You say you criticized the Pope. Whatever I said about the Pope said about me. I said first, I'm not the final authority. Then I said, he's not the final authority. So our people have as much a right to get mad as you Catholics do. Mr. Oral Roberts is not the final authority. The Bible's the final authority. And I just don't believe God would leave us down here without a copy of his word. Well, how can we know which is the real Bible? Well, you can scratch off the Revised Standard Version, because liberals put that one together. You can scratch off any Bible that came from Westcott and Hort, because that's the Vatican manuscripts. And then I'd suggest you find the one that's worked. Find the one that widows have read, over which they've wept, and over which they've prayed for the children. Find the one that dear mothers in the history of our country read and loved and taught. Find the one that faithful evangelists have given their lives for, missionaries have conquered, have circled the globe for. Find the one that's caused people to leave home, family, and friends to carry its message. Find it. Find the one that's changed the life, changed the nation. Find out which one Mr. Moody used. Find out which one Mr. Sunday used. Find the one the great soul-winning churches in America use. Find the one tested by time. Find the one that Mr. Hitler said he would destroy and couldn't. Find the one that Thomas Paine spoke of when he said, within one generation, the Bible will not be printed anymore. And on the same printing press, he printed that garbage. As soon as he died, they printed more Bible. Find the one that they couldn't destroy. Find the one that stood the test of time. Find the one that liberals have tried to destroy. Hitlers have tried to burn. Mussolini's have tried to outlaw. Khrushchev's and Stalin's have tried to burn. Find it. And find the one that has stood. The Bible said, my word shall not pass away. Find the one that stood the test of time. Don't find one that's got a hippie on the outside of it and a bunch of hippie jargon on the inside of it. Find the one that stood the test of time. But you say, I don't understand those these and thous. Thee means you, thou means you, I means me, we means us. And you know it, and you know it. And not only that, but the Holy Spirit of God lives inside of you, and he's the author of this book. If you can't understand a part of it, then ask him to teach you, and he'll do it. He wrote it. We've got to have a Bible. We have got to have a Bible. Oh, you say, boy, that's right. I'll tell you what, I believe from cover to cover. Try opening the covers. Boy, I believe every word of it. Memorize, quote a few of them. We had scripture quoting tonight. We got Sunday school teachers here. If somebody got Jesus wept, you'd say he got mine. Read it. Memorize it. Study it. Love it. Teach it. Preach it. Live in it. It's the word of God. You can depend on it. Every jot and every tittle shall come to pass. Not one comma, not one punctuation shall pass away. My word shall not pass away. And I checked that word, pass away, a little bit, and a synonym for that would be, my word will always be alive. And there will be a day when somebody said, beloved, we're here gathered in the presence of God and his witnesses. Remember the word of God that died. Never will. It'll always be there. Always will. I don't believe, I can't believe that God would give us a great commission and tell us to teach it, preach it, and spread it, and not give us the truth to teach and preach and spread. was good for our fathers. It was good for our fathers. It was good for our fathers. It's good enough for me. It was good for my mama. It was good for my mama. It was good for my mama. It's good enough for me. Our Heavenly Father, bless our message tonight. Stabilize our people. Let's